There's no crying in baseball!
You're 5 feet nothing, 100 and nothing, and you got hardly a speck of athletic ability. And you hung in with the best college football team in the land for 2 years!
I said, fuck you, Joe Boone. I do it myself.
In here, there were two guys killing each other. But I guess that's better than 20 million. But what I'm trying to say is that if I can change, then you can change. Everybody can change!
Welcome to Montucky Skies. I'm Biggs.
I'm the Beard, or Brandon. Whatever you like.
Yeah. And I'm Apollo 13. Now, I don't know how to do this. No Zach today.
You're not Apollo Creed? That's where I would have gone with that.
Yeah, I know. I choked at the last second.
Not that I'm a Rocky fan, but I thought that's where you were going with that. I heard Apollo.
I did too, honestly. Looking back, I totally thought that that's where I was going with that too, but it just didn't work out that way. Dude, such an eventful week, man.
Suns.
So we recorded the Suns. I know we promised this would be the Suns episode. I did not hear the end of the We Had a Good Life podcast last week where Matt was literally saying it wouldn't be this week. Like, he's out and out said it last week.
Yeah, it sounds like he's got a hell of an editing job ahead of him.
Well, yeah. Okay, so here's what happened. I just did my voice on a mixer and everybody else's was through theirs. It wasn't that I was being a prima donna. It was just that, like, there was
the sheer volume of chords that we had.
Oh, my God, yeah. And we all sat around one area, which I didn't expect. I was thinking we'd be around tables. But when I saw the layout, I was like, yeah, this makes way more sense. But so we all sat down, had a great time. Everything that you would hope would be hashed out, I think got hashed out on the air. Like, stuff I didn't expect to get hashed out. Like, Dove confronted me about me and Zach talking about his dick on the podcast, which you'll get to hear. I don't want to give anything away, really. Just a few things we hit. The rivalry between shooting the show and We Had a Good Life.
Yeah, that was definitely apparent.
Yeah, and I was stoking those fires, dude. Like, Matt came with a piece of paper with, like, stuff that he could bring up, and he brought up a couple of things. But I was ready with, like, conflict diamonds. Like, like, every time there's a little bit of silence, I was, like,
I got ready. Some coal. Yeah. Here's the coal. Stoking a flame.
Yeah, totally. So, but what happened was, so my... I don't know. I think my card corrupted or something. As you can hear Dub and Matt talk about it on We Had a Good Life this week. But I think the card got corrupted when it was recording, when it was converting. It was converting for like a half hour. It takes about an hour for as long as we record it, because it's like an hour and 45-minute deal. And so after we finished, like, we started setting up to do box office battle with Aaron and Kate, which I have to say really quick, if Dub's still listening, which I'm guessing he is at this point since he heard about his dick, but we were kind of like trying to like subtly rush him out of there, but it was only because Aaron like came up to me right away after we finished recording. Like, I was sort of, we were all having fun in the glow of like too much alcohol and too much fun, you know. It was great.
There was a lot of booze flowing.
Yeah, there was a lot of shots like flying around and beers, and we drank everything that was there. But
did all the rich and rare? That was the one that was like the last, because it was fire.
R&R, yeah. Well, there was Jameson there, which is my shit, dude.
The Jameson
went... If I do a shot, it's usually Jameson.
It went pretty quick.
Well, that's also because I busted out all my shot glasses. I had, like, 8 for everybody, and then I think I brought out a Guinness glass for the 9th.
No, it was a little Coca-Cola-shaped.
Oh, that's right, a little can-shaped thing I got at the dollar store. That's right. So, anyway, the wave got corrupted. And so it just registered like it wasn't there. And so Dub went to take a look at it, because Dub is a fucking computer genius. I don't know how much we've talked about on the podcast, but he's like an IT guy. Like, he knows his shit with computers. And he actually gave me his first like he gave me my first flash drive ever, which I still use all the time. So he gave it to me with the albums, and then I just never gave it back. Like, I didn't intentionally steal it, but after about a year, I realized it was his, and I just never gave it back. But it's only like, it's not even a 2 gig drive, so it's super tiny. Not really important. So we're sitting there recording, but before we recorded, because I know the nature of this shit and how things can fuck up, I was looking to my right, and Eric was there with a unidirectional mic, which means instead of the ones that we're using right now where you have to talk straight into it for it to pick up for the most part, it picks up in a round circle. And so, like, it's great if you're, like, on stage singing.
Yeah.
Like, if you move around and stuff, because it'll still catch your voice. But it's not the best to use for recording because it catches everything. So, see, he's using one of those.
Excuse me.
That was to my right. To my left sits Brandon, and he's also using one. I'm like, badass. I'm getting picked up no matter what. Like, that thought literally occurred to me while we were recording. So I feel bad for Matt, because it's going to be a it would have been a bitch to edit that anyway. There are certain people that were having giggly conversations like throughout the whole thing, whether it was what everybody was talking about or not. So that would have been tough to edit anyway, but then having to edit up my voice, which, like, I'd say other than maybe Matt, I was probably the most verbose person. I might have been out-talked Matt too. I'm not sure. The two of us can fucking talk, dude. Like, we talk. And who would have figured 9 talkers sitting around who podcast for a living? There was a lot of conversation. There was never really a moment where it was like, I don't know if we can continue anymore.
Yeah, it was like, it came to a point where it was, we need to really kill this because we're going on 2 hours now.
Yeah, I was like, it was funny because there was two separate times where Matt was like trying to kill it, and I totally, like, I was like, hold on, just this last thing, and then I said something that I knew would stoke another conversation, and then, like, both times that we wound up talking for another 20 minutes. So I made Matt's job a lot tougher, but I think the conversations at the end were probably even more fun than the ones at the beginning, because we were drunker, you know?
That is true.
Yeah, it was kind of on that tip, so... whenever Matt is able to get edited, that will be the Montucky Skies for the week. But yeah, so I just wanted to explain that in the most long-winded fashion ever. 7 minutes.
Is there any other way to do it on a podcast?
No, there's really not. So another thing I was hearing from a lot of people were just like, wow, Biggs, I really like your house, because a couple of people hadn't seen it. And we got a big house, like it's a Victorian mansion. But I kept saying, like, yeah, I hope we get to keep it, but our lease is up next month, so I don't know. We just got that letter. We're not getting to keep it. I kind of knew once they painted. They painted a week before the Suns thing. They painted the entire outside and the porch. So I'm just like, yeah, I'm getting fucking – we're getting booted. I'm sure of it. Like, they're going to sell the house. Like, the house doubled in value.
Ouch.
Yeah. So it's like – I knew we were out, and sure enough, we're out. We got served our pre-30-day notice, which is like, they didn't really have to. There was a contract in place, but they let us know, like, they're not going to do a month by month. Like, they're just straight up trying to sell the house, so.
At least they're doing that instead of just, like, get the fuck out.
Yeah, well, they have to honor through July. Yeah, they can't just. That is a good point, though. But I think they want to make sure that we're fucking out of the house.
Yeah.
And they also want to view it. So they made it clear in their letter, too, in a semi-bitchy tone that, like, that people are going to come over to view it, and we have to, you know, like, whatever time they come up with, which kind of sucks because my wife works graveyards. So it's like, yeah, if they want to come over at, like, 10 in the morning when she's sawing logs and sleeping in her underwear, I have to let them in. That's going to be interesting. But anyway, so we've been looking for a place the last 2 days. I think we got a beat on something close to the neighborhood. There's something else in the neighborhood, but I'm not exactly sure where. There's one in East Helena, which I'm secretly kind of hoping I get because the rent is half of what it is here. And I'm just like, you know, it'd be nice to have money again. I really like living downtown, but I also like having money a lot.
Yeah.
Like, these are two kind of conflicting things, because to live downtown, with a family in a place that like isn't the Red Ghetto, which is an infamous place around here where people go to do their drugs pretty much. And there's arguments about which one is the Red Ghetto, because there's a couple that you could make a case for. But
see, I would like classify the whole neighborhood as Red Ghetto, but
but not in the portion. I live in the nicer portion.
No, yeah, I would call you outside.
I'm
the
like
Red Ghetto,
four blocks away from the Red Ghetto.
You're close to the borderline.
Yeah, very close. Like Dub actually lives about, I'd say like 12 blocks away from me, something like that. I'm just guessing. But Dub lives pretty close to me. He's like firmly in the ghetto part, but it's a little bit nicer. Like he's on the other side of the Rodney Street ghetto, and I'm on, you know, the opposite. But so that happened to me. There's some other things that aren't like personal. Like I read an article yesterday that it's Flash Gordon's 35th birthday, the 1980 opus that we did the commentary for a while back, which if you haven't heard it, you should totally check out, or just wait, because eventually I'll run out of Biggs on Films episode that I have like packed, and then I'll just fucking
just
re-spin
it
out there. Yeah, I'm not, if I can't get one for the week or for the month, like that's what I'm going to do, because it'll be a monthly podcast. I'm trying to make sure I just fulfill my commitment that I promise. And I don't think I can deliver more than one a month unless I talk by myself, which isn't always the easiest thing.
No, and it's really hard to, like, because with at least another person, you get something to bounce comments off and get or conversation started.
Yeah, get a chance to take a drink of beer.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I'm so, like, Flash Gordon is 35. That just knocks me out. I love that movie so much.
You know, it's weird because it is such a guy movie.
It really is. I was having that thought today, actually.
And I just don't know. I haven't played this one in front of the kids. I know my wife will not watch this.
You kind of have in that I have. Do you remember when we used to do movies out on my old backyard?
Yeah.
And we were waiting for some people to show up or something, so we started watching Flash Gordon while we were waiting.
Oh, I don't remember that at all.
Oh, maybe you weren't. Maybe you were the one we were waiting for. I don't know.
There's a fair chance of that.
Yeah, and we got through like maybe a half hour through. But what I'm discovering is even my daughters hate it. Too. I just like my daughters hate it. My wife hates it. Like, when I think back hard, I'm not sure I know any women that like it.
I haven't met a single woman that.
Yeah. Maybe my mom likes it, but I'm not sure. I'd have to ask her. But it's so.
I'm sure
perfect.
You'll find out tomorrow.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's, that's valid. She is pretty quick with the responses. Like, so the thing with Flash Gordon is like, it's so perfect because Sam Jones is such an awful actor, but everybody around him is legit, except for maybe Dale. She's not so great here. So the leads are not great.
Not good.
But everybody
is legitimate good
actors, and they
award-winning actors.
Yeah. Brian Blessed, Max von Sydow, Timothy Dalton. Like, Timothy Dalton is a good actor. Like, people give him shit for the James Bond movies he did, which I've gone and rewatched. They're not as bad as people remember them being. They've actually, like they're not great. Don't get me wrong. But they're, like, upper, lower third, I would say.
Yeah.
There's some, like, skeevy racist stuff that's sort of hard to take now when you watch it.
A lot of those, like, I remember The Living Daylights being an almost bad, it's good sort of movie with the submarine car. And
the dude's head exploding. Don't they have a dude's head explode because they depressurize a cabin or something and, like, his head, like, blows up and then you just see, like, blood splatter on the window? I remember that. And I think that one's got the signature gun, too, where, like, James Bond, like, he's the only one that can use it. And then they reused it for Skyfall. They kind of did an homage to that movie with the signature gun when he gets given a gun and a radio by Q. So great. It's the first time you see Q, the new Q, and, like, he gets a gun and a radio. I love that touch.
It's just modern era of technology. He gets a radio and a gun.
Yeah. But I was sitting there watching it, and I always love Brian Blessed in that movie as, like, the Hawkman, the leader of the Hawkman, you know, Voltan. But, like, when I watch it, I'm like, you know what? Like, he is kind of a bitch in that movie for most of it. Like, he just, like, he's so afraid of Ming, and he's always trying to buy time or whatever, but, like, he's so afraid of Ming that he just, like, sells out everybody at every turn until finally, like, Flash Gordon survives his planet being blown up, or the Hawkman's islands or whatever, and then he comes around because the Hawkmen are starting to turn on him. Like, it's not exactly a hero's tale, but you look at Timothy Dalton's character in it, like, you can understand why he's pissy.
Yeah.
Like, he really likes this girl, and then she's, like, comes over, like, he can't really trust her, because, I mean, let's be honest, she's a little loose, that one. You know, and she plays it loose. That's all that I'm saying. And then she comes in with Flash, and obviously Flash got down with her, you know. And so he doesn't like Flash for a long time until Flash basically has every right to kill him and then, like, saves him from those spikes. And then he's just, like, on board. But I'm like, that, you know, that makes sense to me. That makes total sense to me, like, his arc. And Volta makes sense, too. But, I mean, like, I respect Timothy Dalton's character more. Does that make sense?
Yeah. I'm trying to think of the... I can't think of the character name or actor name. The crazy scientist.
Mm. Topol. Topol's the actor's name. It's Dr. I just watched it today. What's wrong with me? It doesn't matter.
Because he's a Oscar-winning actor.
For Fiddler on the Roof, right? Yeah. Which they actually show clips of in his flashbacks. Yeah, I was watching that again today, and I tried to tell my wife that you have to watch it about 30 times to really, like, understand how brilliant it is. She was not happy, dude. If her eyes rolled any harder, like, upwards, they would have just spun out of her eyes across the floor, dude. Like, she was not having it. So I got to watch that one pretty much alone in a house full of women.
Yikes.
Yeah.
Although I get that a lot doing research for Box Office Battle.
I bet you do.
I get that. Is this one of your Box Office Battle movies?
So this is probably...
I'll let you guess on which one it is. It's going to be a spoiler for Box Office Battle.
Oh, but... Tremors? Oh, Remo Williams?
Nope. It was Tremors.
Oh, it was Tremors. Okay.
Although she started watching that and actually really enjoyed it.
Remo Williams?
No.
Oh, Tremors. Yeah, Tremors is, like, more of a popcorn movie. You know what I mean? Like, and it was, there's a good chance your wife may have seen it when she was younger, too. I don't know if she did or not, but that was not an unpopular movie by any means, but kind of forgotten now.
Yeah.
Like, it's not something you think about. If somebody says it, you're like, oh, yeah, Tremors, but it's not something that ever comes up.
Although they're coming out with the fifth movie.
I never even saw part two.
There is... four movies out. They're doing a fifth straight. I think three and four were sci-fi movies.
Yeah, I think I saw something for part four, so I knew there was four of them. And I had no idea there was a fifth.
I just found out today that they're doing a part five.
But I've only seen the first one with Michael Gross from Family Ties.
He is in all five movies.
Is he? Is he like the string that ties it together?
Pretty much. And I have not seen any of the other movies.
Okay, you got to help me out with this. What was the theme for Family Ties? Oh, I remember now. What do we do, baby, with our love? What do we do, baby, with our love? And there ain't nobody, or there ain't nothing we can't get each other through. What do we do, baby, with our love? Here's the best part. Sha-la-la-la. Right? Is that right?
Yeah,
that
I
is
think so.
Not a show that gets rerun at all. Isn't that kind of surprising?
A little bit. Like, I know there's a lot of pop references that come out.
Is that even on like Netflix or Hulu?
I don't think so. I don't know about Hulu, but I'm pretty sure it's not on
I would kind of watch one just to see if this shit even holds up. I got to guess it
everything,
doesn't.
Like all of the pop references that I've seen are they're sort of rewatchable if unless it's a Teeny Yothers.
Oh,
episode
yeah.
Really bad.
Yeah. I mean, but it's like a Michael J. Fox joint. You would think just for that, like, it would get some play, like, be on Netflix or something, you know? I haven't even looked it up. I don't know, but I feel like if I had seen it, I would have watched one, especially with, like, watch the one of the Tom Hanks ones. Because before Tom Hanks blew up big, he was Elise's alcoholic brother.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah, because Bosom Buddies had just bombed. And so one of the producers was the same producers as Family Ties, so he brought in Tom Hanks for a couple episodes. That was my original introduction to Tom Hanks, honest to God, was Family Ties. We were a Family Ties house. I loved Alex P. Keaton, even though everybody called me Alex P. Keaton, and I totally disagreed with his politics, which I was also thinking about today for some reason. I don't know why I was thinking about Family Ties, because I did not watch Tremors. I totally spaced that I should have watched it, which is okay, because apparently we're not going to record that tonight, but... You know, I totally spaced to watch that one, so I don't know why I was thinking about it, but yeah, man, Family Ties, good time. Do you remember how that series ended?
No.
So I vaguely remember it was because Alex P. Keaton like winds up getting a job on Wall Street, and so everybody's doing like a look back, remembering. I think it was like a clip heavy episode. You know what I mean? Where yeah. They were like replaying clips and stuff. But I remember it being kind of sad. They probably did the thing where they like shut off the light in the kitchen or something at the end, because they do that all the time.
I would imagine, but I have almost no recollection of this show at all.
By the way, if you watch like any sitcoms from the 80s and 90s, usually when they had their last episode, they would end it with like the light shutting off. Do you know what that's a reference to?
No.
It's a reference to the Mary Tyler Moore Show. Now, I was not like, I didn't see a ton of episodes of that, but I was reading about this the other day. They were the ones that, like, when it was all over at the TV studio or whatever, like, they had some speech or something and then, like, shut off the lights. And it was one of the few finales from that era that, like, people really remembered. And so every sitcom after that, practically through the 80s and 90s, like, kind of ended the same way with, like, the lights shutting off.
Yeah.
Even Cheers ended with the lights
shutting
off.
Yeah, it did, because I think they shut down the bar like one last time.
Yeah, I can tell you exactly how Cheers ends. Is Sam comes back and like everybody's kind of leaving. It's just him and Norm left in the bar. And then Norm says, "Let me tell you something, Sammy. I knew you'd come back." And he goes, You always come back to your true love." And he walks out, and Sam thinks about it, because Sam's kind of a moron. I love him, but he can be kind of dumb, you know? And then, like, you can see the understanding come over his face, and he kind of polishes the bar for a minute. And then this is the moment that always gives me goosebumps, because somehow I knew what they were talking about when I was a kid. Somehow I just knew what they were referring to. But he goes back to that picture of Geronimo that it's moved around in the bar a little bit, but it was... Coaches, the guy who played Coach, Nicholas Cassano or whatever, he had this picture, and he would always like touch it for good luck right before he went out on stage in his dressing room. So when he died, they brought it out into the bar, and it moved around like Rebecca. Like at first it was prominently displayed in the bar, and then they had a whole thing where Rebecca was like trying to get rid of the paraphernalia or like class it up, and so they like moved it to like a back wall or something. But Sam walks by it and straightens it, which is like a tribute to Coach. And then a guy tries to walk in and tries the door, and then Sam yells, "Sorry, we're closed." And you see the guy's shadow walk away from the bar, and then you see Sam kind of look around, and I think he says, "I'm the luckiest son of a bitch ever." And then he turns out the lights, and that's like the, and then, you know, Glenn Charles, Les Charles, Glenn Burroughs or Les yeah. Burroughs. Yeah. If I didn't just prove like what a big fucking Cheers fan I am, I don't know what's gonna do it.
Cheers is one I want to rewatch, but never have the time.
you always have the time. You just don't realize it, because that is a show that you can watch one episode and walk away from a year and then just pick it up at the next episode. Like, it really is, man. And it's a show that really, really does well on binge watches. It's a great show for binge watching, dude, because it's just funny. It's just a funny show. Like, at the end of the day, you know, like, the fashions have definitely gone out of style, but the stories are usually pretty good. I mean, there's like 230 episodes or something like that. So, you know, occasionally you get some repeats of episodes, practically like kind of the same plot over and over again. But the character, like, the actors are just funny who play the parts, you know? So it's definitely, I recommend watching that on a binge watch for sure. It really holds up.
So I rewatched Mad Max Fury Road yesterday. And I watched that with my wife, and I don't know if she enjoyed it as much as I did, but I
guarantee she didn't enjoy it as much as you did. You and Zach have found an excuse to bring it up since a week before it came out every single week, dude.
But it was so great. Like, because it's the second time I watched, and I picked up a lot of things that I sort of missed on the first viewing, and it holds up and plays again so well.
That's good. I heard that they put out a comic book that does some origin stories of some of the characters, but I heard it's not so good, too, so I guess don't check that out. I don't know.
Yesterday, I was down in Hastings just trying to get out of this damn heat, and they had a display of 49-cent comics that they're just trying to like wholesale get rid of.
So probably like a whole lot of 80s comic
they're
books,
just crap
90s comic books.
But I picked up two of them, and both of them were the Max crossovers.
The Max did crossovers?
Yeah. With Gen 13, and there was, I can't remember what the other one was.
Did you check it out at all?
I read the crossover with Gen 13.
I love that you weren't even like, I'm going to spend 49 cents on this. You're just like, fuck it, let me flip through it.
No, I spent the 49 cents.
Okay, all right.
Because the other thing was the kids, they had this Cartoon Network thing going on. And so you learn how to draw like Finn and Jake from Adventure Time. And I'm like, I have no interest, but I'll let the kids, and I'm just going to buy a couple of comics to flip through while kids are doing this. And I remembered I really like the Max.
Yeah, it's there's a lot of levels to that comic book that I didn't quite pick up on the show either, that I think were on the show, but I just wasn't smart enough to pick it up at the time. Like, there's a lot of themes of abuse going on below, and like I kind of thought that fantastical world really did exist, and when I read the comics, which play exactly like the MTV show.
And then there's like depression.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, very much so. These are very broken people. Max and Julie are very, very broken people.
Yeah.
And, I was reading those, and I was like, I really enjoy this, like, I didn't quite read the whole run, but I'm close.
I found out the entire series from the MTV show is available on YouTube's.
Oh, nice. I'm going to have to check that out.
And they're only like 15, 20 minute episodes. Because they were short on Liquid Television.
Or no, they weren't Liquid Television. It was
Liquid Television.
No.
It started with Liquid Television.
It was MTV Oddities. The head started as Liquid Television. The Max was like right off of the comic book. Like, that's what they did right after the head. I think the head was Liquid Television. Unless I'm mistaken. I could be mistaken.
I feel like I just read part of it yesterday, like, looking at stuff online, because I was like, where could I find... Because I went, all the way through Hastings. I'm like, I want to pick up a DVD of this. Not to be found.
That's got to be a tough one, man.
Not to be found. So I'm, like, looked on online to find... anywhere I could buy a DVD of it, and came across that they had the whole season on YouTube. So that's going to be coming up very soon.
Which came out first? Was it the head or was it the Max?
I don't recall.
I feel like it was the head. I feel like it was maybe the Max, because I remember really loving the Max and then seeing the head and being like, ah, come on. And then like really loving the head and being like, wow, this is badass too. Such a weird idea. It's this dude with this super giant head.
It's got a symbiote. Yeah, alien
one day, inside. One day his head just cracks open and this like alien named Roy comes out, who's pretty friendly. And then he winds up, the head makes friends with a bunch of people. Like, I remember there's that one guy with the lawnmower blade stuck in his head.
A guy with a fishbowl stuck in his mouth.
Yeah.
A girl with a just ginormous nose. Like, all you see is a hair and a nose.
The line I will never forget was when they're sneaking around in a government office and the dude with the lawnmower blade in his head like sees these secret blueprints and he's reading it, and he sees that like the lawnmower that he used, like they mention that the bolt is unreliable that holds the blade in place, and shows that like it'll fly out and hit people in the face, and he goes, "They knew! The bastards knew!" And they go, "Hey, are you okay?" He's like, "Oh yeah, what's going on?" He just like totally forgets it immediately. His arch is over right in that second. There is no more character study with that guy.
Yeah. Those were some pretty good shows on MTV. I really enjoyed those.
Yeah, that was back when they were really pushing the
animation on MTV.
Yeah, the weird animation. Like, back in those times, man, that felt like such a breath of fresh air. Like, it's not like today, because I'm never going to see an animation style now, I feel like, where I'm like, wow, this is really original. Just because, like, we went through that era in the 90s where you always saw the same kind of animation over and over again. And then all of a sudden, there was all this weird, like, hand-drawn stuff that was hitting festivals, and then MTV really like kind of put it together for Liquid Television, and then they did like Beavis and Butthead and MTV Oddities, and like, you know, they really like pushed that strange animation.
Well,
out there
was a couple of different ones that, I mean, South Park basically debuted at the same time, and it was a completely different style of animation.
Well, South Park
came out in about 97.
Sure, it was 97, because yeah. it was when you were off to college.
Yeah.
Because I remember we used to do this thing before you went to college where we'd always see commercials for Comedy Central, which was originally the Ha Network, but at that time they had changed their name to Comedy Central. And I had always seen it whenever I went to visit my mom in Oregon. And so I was like, I want Comedy Central, because it would play like Saturday Night Live all day and Mystery Science Theater. And it had all these reruns of, like, I don't know, just all these weird sketch shows and stuff. And I was just like, this is so up my alley. And so we would call the cable company and, like, we were really obnoxious nerds. You know that? Like Evil Dead, we would write the thing at Hastings over and over again in different handwriting all the time. And we also called the cable company over and over again saying we wanted Comedy Central. Now, we won with Evil Dead. We totally won, because when Evil Dead came out on VHS, when they re-released it, they could have just had a couple of copies, but I think because we had pushed like Evil Dead requests for years and like tried to make it look like different handwriting on all the requests and put them at different spots and stuff, that like I would like make up other movies to put in between just so it didn't look like it was one dude like writing it over and over again, you know? But when they finally put it out, they put it out on a display that had Ash on it, and then it had four different like covers for the VHS, like a whole fucking display just for Evil Dead, which, like, to be fair, in Helena, I'm going to say there was like 10 people that knew of the existence of Evil Dead, like probably 10 people, you know, and it was us and our friends, like that was it.
Yeah.
And I was the only one who saw it till it came out on VHS, I'm pretty sure. Because I saw it in this old rinky-dink like video store in Oregon that I was at. Like, I saw them backwards. We saw Evil Dead, or we saw Army of Darkness on Stars, and then Evil Dead 2. I can't even fucking remember how we saw Evil Dead 2. But somehow I eventually saw it and copied it and then showed it to everybody. And then it was like another 2 years before I finally got a chance to see Evil Dead. Cause that's when it was like fucking banned. You know what I mean? Like yeah. It was banned. You could not find that shit unless you had one of those weird catalogs where you could pay $100 and order it, which I never purchased any of those kinds of magazines. So maybe if I had, I could have had it.
I feel like you could have ordered it through like Fangoria or something like that, but that's about it.
You're probably right. And I actually did read Fangoria in high school quite a bit. Like I wasn't a subscriber, but I definitely had a lot of issues. And I'd take the pictures and hang them up. I remember having a picture of Kevin Bacon with an arrow through his throat from the original Friday the 13th. Because it was a spread just talking about all the Friday the 13th movies. And kind of a, did you know that Kevin Bacon was in the first one? Which he totally was. Yeah, fucking old times, man.
It's a long time ago.
Yeah. Fangoria. I haven't even thought of Fangoria magazines forever.
I still see one every now and again.
It hasn't gone away.
No. And it's still as entertaining as it used to be, which is kind of surprising in the modern era of magazines, because the modern era of magazines is terrible.
Well,
there are some that have gone really heavy on the digital age.
Mm-hmm.
And those ones
with
doing
like
okay.
Next issue for your tablet and stuff.
Yeah. Those ones I think are doing well. The ones that are strictly print issues, not doing so well. The one that really comes to mind is Maxim magazine. It used to be a 200-page magazine. Now it's about 30 pages tops.
I remember Jon Stewart talking about something in Maxim magazine one time and saying, Maxim magazine, which is a magazine for men too timid to buy porn. Not that far off. But they did have like a lot of interesting stuff in there that I enjoyed reading. I never bought a copy, though.
You know, I actually had a subscription for Maxim for quite a while.
Did you pay for that subscription, though?
I did pay for that subscription.
Because I'm pretty sure the original one you got free when you were living with somebody in Bozeman. Yeah, like somebody moved away and you're just like, well, these are our magazines.
And eventually it ran out. So I'm like, you know what? I enjoy this. So I bought like a 2-year subscription for it. Enjoyed every issue because there was so much. I mean, there's a lot of cool gadgetry, and interesting articles. Usually, about the time the NFL season kicks off, they have a big NFL spread, which I always thought more entertaining than like the Sports Illustrated at the time, just because it felt like less of a just sports commentary and more of a men's view of things.
Yeah. I had a subscription to Sports Illustrated for like 2 years. My dad got me one for Christmas 1 year and I fucking loved it, dude. I would read it cover to cover, even if I didn't give a shit about the sports I was reading, just to read something. And yeah, I loved Sports Illustrated back when I was in high school. And then my subscription ran out and I had a job and I actually paid for another year, like myself, because it was probably like $80 or something to get another year at the time, like way cheaper than the cover prices. I remember always fighting with that with Mad Magazine, like always wanting a subscription to Mad, but just never ponying up the money to get Mad Magazine when I was a kid. Were you like a heavy reader of Mad?
I would read it if I had one in front of me.
Okay. See, I was like, when I was a kid, every issue that came out, I would look at in the store all the time when my mom was driving. Then eventually I'd buy it. Like, I was on the Mad tip for a long time.
I would read a lot in the store. And middle school and high school, I actually had a job working as a library assistant. So whenever the new issue of Mad came in, I usually got a chance to read it.
Thumb through it.
Before the fold-in got destroyed.
I hated that. That used to, you could tell I was a nerd because I would get so upset when somebody would borrow my copy and then do the fold in. And I was like, really, dude, you can't just, like, it always bothered me because I would just look at the ends.
They would actually fold it.
Yeah. I would just look at the ends and know what they were doing. I didn't have to fold it.
And
maybe when I was a really little kid.
You can even, like, put it together where you don't fold it and just, like, kind of put the pieces together.
When's the last time you said the name Al Jaffe? He used to do those fold-ins.
Wasn't he the old guy? I think the last time.
He did a lot.
Didn't he die a few years back?
Probably. I don't know. I
feel like that was a big thing when he passed away a couple years ago. But I could be way off. It may be somebody else with.
The only person from Matt I remember passing away is William M. Gaines, because he was such a like heavy hitter with the comic books, the old school comic books. And then they always worked in his image somewhere in a Mad magazine. It's almost like Alfred Hitchcock. Like, he'd be there at least in the background somewhere, like in every issue. That had to have been on purpose, I'd imagine. His ego was too big to not do it. He was the Stan Lee of his day, dude. Even though Stan Lee was around. Stan Lee kind of took William M. Gaines' thing after William M. Gaines died and just attributed it to movies and shows, right?
I could see that.
Yeah, but, so something else that's, you know, it's funny. We started talking about Mad Magazine because I had a weird random thought. Remember Gru the Wanderer?
No.
Okay, so Sergio Aragonés was a writer for Mad, and he'd do some articles, but what you would see the most is if you remember in Mad Magazine, they'd always have these little tiny drawings on every page between panels that have little one-shot drawings of things, and that was Sergio Aragonés that would draw it. Well, and when he would like write an article, it would just be like a splash page that was just filled with like a million characters. And he also did Spy versus Spy. That was his tip.
Okay.
So I was thinking about Gru the Wanderer because, like, I loved that comic book when I was a kid. And it was basically a parody of like, Conan the Barbarian, but, like, and just comic books in general. But he was just stupid. And he would wander around and he'd just want to hack up everything with his sword. And then I like saw one at the library a couple of years ago and I went to read it and it was like slightly new and I was like, wow, I didn't know this comic book is still coming out. And I was reading, I was like, oh, this is terrible. But like I could see how kids would still love it, you know. But then I was thinking, like, with all these comic book properties that are spinning out, why not Gru the Wanderer? And I thought of the perfect person to play Gru the Wanderer. Okay. And I'm spacing on his name all of a sudden, and I don't know why. The dude in 22 Jump Street and 21 Jump Street and Foxcatcher and
Channing Tatum.
Yeah, Channing Tatum. Thank you. Yeah, Channing Tatum would be an excellent Gru the Wanderer. Should they make that a movie, dude? He looked like, you just put long hair on him and a headband, put a sword on his back. He is fucking Gru the Wanderer. They need to do this.
Yeah, he's definitely chiseled enough that he could pull off the look. Plus, his characters are dumber than doornails.
Yeah. He's really good at it. He's really good at it.
See, I'm trying to give him the benefit of the doubt, just being his characters, but I feel like there's a level of Channing Tatum that's not very deep.
No, I think you're right. But he's pretty. He's very pretty and muscular, so you got to give him that.
He's definitely pretty and muscular.
He's also, I would dare to say, pretty muscular.
And I know he's coming out with his second movie that is very pretty and muscular.
I think that I'm starting to develop epilepsy. Or not epilepsy. What is it where you fall asleep all the time?
Narcolepsy.
I think I'm becoming narcoleptic because I keep watching shows and falling asleep while I'm watching them.
Well, that's just getting old.
Maybe. Like, I started watching True Detective, the new season, and I fell asleep like halfway through. It's not that it was boring. It's just that I fell asleep, so I got to rewatch it.
Hey,
now.
I fell asleep through a Red Wedding, so.
Wow. That's impressive, dude.
If it was, I would have totally missed the whole thing if my wife wasn't just like screaming at the TV.
Yeah, so I'm actually kind of glad Zach's not here now, because next week, if we're doing another episode of Skies, we can do, can talk about the first two episodes, and I'll have actually seen them if I can stay awake. But I also watched, so when my wife was gone, I watched the new rock show on HBO, Ballers.
Ballers?
Yeah. Dude, that was just like, I was watching it, and I think I got like 20 minutes through, and I was like, God, this just isn't good. I wanted it to be good, and it just was not. And then I fell asleep during that, too. But I figured I saw enough of it to know, like, no loss, you know?
My brother was giving some high praise on that yesterday. We went out, again, trying to beat the heat. Did a little rafting out at Spring Meadow Lake.
Ah, nice.
And he was really into that because they really played up the Miami Dolphins. I think there's a Miami Dolphins tie in there.
Yeah, because it's in Miami. And, who is it? Rob Corddry's in it too. But he's really weird in it because he usually plays Rob Corddry. Like, you know
just
what I mean?
Just a really greasy guy.
Yeah, and like sarcastic and stuff. Like, yeah. But in this one, he's like doing a voice and like doing something different. But I wasn't totally comfortable with it. It was really weird. I didn't like Rob Corddry in that show either. I wasn't impressed. What did your brother think? I mean, you said he was impressed with it. Did he give any specifics?
He really liked Dwayne Johnson's character. The Rock.
Mm-hmm.
And I was kind of zoning out. Again, it's 100 degrees and I'm in a lake.
Right.
Trying to fish, sort of.
Kind of like doing the motion of fishing.
Yeah.
Going through the motions.
Yeah. And it was, God, it was so hot.
Okay. Well, I'm not going to give high praise for Ballers from what I saw of it. But I think I'm going to give it the college try and at least watch the end of the episode and see if maybe there's a twist that makes it good.
And I think Brent's going to try and be on next week. So,
oh, good, good. I'd like to hear his take on it when he comes on. Maybe he can catch up on the episodes and kind of inform us. And then I watched a new Jack Black, Tim Robbins, that guy from The Daily Show whose name I don't remember. I don't know. But it's like a show where they're in an, like Jack Black and that guy from The Daily Show are in this embassy.
Oh.
And I was like kind of like the commercials didn't look hilarious for it, but I was like hoping it was really good. Kind of a meh. I'll probably watch another episode, but I fell asleep in the last 5 minutes of that one too. I'm telling you, dude, I'm getting narcoleptic. Like, I watched these in three different days and, like, fell asleep at the end of each one.
Yikes. So,
yeah. Ballers, I had the common sense to not watch it with my wife because she was just, like, clearly not in on this show. And then I realized it seemed like it was kind of trying to, like, if you like Entourage, you'll like this show kind of thing.
Oh.
Yeah, so I was like, there's no way she'll be into this, so I'll just watch it by myself. But, I don't know, Entourage did it better. Entourage did it way better. And it's more, I don't know, it's like a cross between Entourage and Arliss. Do you remember Arliss?
Vaguely.
It was like Robert Ware on HBO played like a sleazy sports agent. And I kind of feel like they cribbed it for Jerry Maguire a little bit. Except for they made Tom Cruise actually like a likable person.
All I really remember from Arliss, because usually it came on right after Dream On.
Yeah, yep.
And
yep, it sure
so
did.
When the Arliss theme came on, it was time to change the channel.
Yeah, I watched some of Arliss. It wasn't my favorite. Those older HBO shows, they didn't have the glamour that the newer ones did. But Larry Sanders, I remember not liking when I was a kid.
The Gary Shandling show?
Well, Gary Shandling show was ingenious, and I loved that as a kid. I haven't watched one as an adult, but I have very fond memories of the Gary Shandling show. Which was actually a Showtime show. But Larry Sanders' show was like making fun of the talk shows of the day, like Carson and I guess Arsenio Hall to an extent. Those were the two big ones, right? I feel like those were the only two big ones back in that day. But anyway,
Leno was, or not?
Oh,
Leno,
Letterman.
Letterman.
Yeah, Letterman was like the late night. That's right. But I rewatched those as an adult. Me and my wife got through like the first two seasons, then we fell off. But like, it was really funny. Like, it's such a good like lampoon of Hollywood. Like the plot lines and stuff seem like what would happen in real life on the backstage of a show. And then that guy from Arrested Development who's in it, who's his sidekick. God, what's that guy? Jeffrey Tambor.
Oh.
He is so fucking funny in that show because it's like he's so talentless, but he just like he needs people to feed his ego all the time and nobody will do it except for when they actually really need something from him. Rip Torn is so good on that show. Like Jeremy Piven is really funny in the little stuff he's given because he's like a writer on the show. It's just it's well casted and really well done. But it's weird to think about those older shows because they were kind of like the shit back in the day. Like people really liked them, but they're nowhere near as good as the shows that they're spinning out now. Like I feel like we're in a renaissance.
I feel like, and I hate to give this credit, but I think Sex and the City really changed how they did their comedy shows.
Oh, how the HBO did their comedies?
Yeah, their comedy shows. Because the
yeah.
I think it was the transition because it came on about the same time as Dream On, and it was really
No, it was after, dude. It was well after Dream On, a couple years, I think. I'm pretty sure. Like, I feel like Dream On ended when we were in high school, and Sex and the City probably started around 2000, I want to say. Like, I think it was like 3 or 4 years later, but I don't know. I'm sorry. I'm like, you're going to the IMDb. Well, while you're figuring that out, I think the show that really started the renaissance with like really well-made dramas was Oz. Like Oz was the one that like changed shows. Like The Sopranos was the first like massive hit. And so in a lot of ways, it's easy to like credit it to The Sopranos. And I'd say that's the first show that knocked it out in every way. But Oz was like that one that was like, we can like put a lot of money into drama, make it something that people really want to watch, and we can change the characters and it's going to be okay. You know, because Oz, it was like people got shanked almost every episode and died. Yeah. They were bringing in people to die after like 10 episodes all the time. You know, there wasn't very many mains. How many people survived from the beginning of that show to the end? Like even the dude who narrates it, the one dude I thought was safe, dies before the end of the show. He still narrates it, still does his
there
weird
was a
poems
few
in between.
Characters I know, the one Irish guard was on the entire series. The O'Reillys.
Yeah, I was gonna say was that the guy who's in all the insurance commercials.
Yeah, Ryan O'Reilly and Cyril.
Yeah.
Yes. I think they were on for the duration.
I feel like Cyril was like the big kind of dumb one, right?
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure he died. I'm pretty sure.
Yes, because he got electric, like the electric chair.
Yeah, okay. Was J.K. Simmons through the whole run? It seems
he
like
was,
he's always
there.
He
was, and then the other character, oh, I'm just drawing a blank here. It was in Wayne's World.
No idea. Because I'm guessing he wasn't a big character in Wayne's World. Can you remember who he played in Wayne's World?
He played the one of the roadies.
Was that in the second one?
No, it was in the first one. He was in the car where they were singing the Bohemian Rhapsody.
Oh, and he had like long hair?
Yeah.
Okay.
He's the one that J.K. Simmons torched the swastika in his ass. And I'm drawing a total blank.
Yeah, anybody who saw Oz was not shocked at how good J.K. Simmons was at playing an asshole in Whiplash. I think that was more of a shock to the general public who was not initiated with Oz. You know what I mean? Because when I saw like they were having him like screaming and stuff and being awful, I was like, that is a great choice. But people, They know him from his friendly insurance commercials, his farmers commercials, or just all the little roles he has where he's just kind of humorous. And but yeah, that dude has some darkness in him that he can.
Yeah, I mean, the main characters is, from Oz, and then what was the other one that I really? Oh, J. Jonah Jameson.
Yeah, yeah. Edie Falco started out on Oz too. She was like a security guard.
I think she ended up through the entire run of it as well. She may have came on in the second season.
So not she made it to the end, but wasn't in the entire run per se.
But I don't remember if she came on a couple seasons in or if she was there at the beginning. I can't recall.
She's really good too. I mean, like in everything Edie Falco does, she's just really good. Or at least all her shows. I don't know that I've ever seen a movie with Edie Falco. I know she's been in some. But Nurse Jackie, which I'm not like a big fan of, but I continue to watch because my wife has like...
Continued to watch?
Yeah. It wasn't so bad at first. And then it sort of, I could see where it was going all the time. That's bad news for me with the show when I know what's going to happen before it happens. But she's really good in it. Like, I don't want to take away from that. Like, she's amazing in that because she is the title character, and that show falls apart when she's not, like, pivotal in the episode, which she's always pivotal because it's named after her character. Like, that show was built around her and what she does well, so... She was great in The Sopranos all the time. So great that, like, I didn't realize how great she was because she's so, like, lost herself in the character. But when you hit those episodes, it's The Sopranos, like, White Caps, which was, like, much maligned when it came out. But I liked it. And it's been appreciated since then. It's basically the episode where, like, Tony and Carmela split up. And it was like a season finale, and people have been so used to so many people being murdered in the season finale that I think there was this like backlash because it's like, what, they just split up? But it was like a really emotionally charged episode, and it was really well done. Like that woman could act, dude. Like that show had a lot of people that weren't great actors, but they just sort of got characters that were good at, you know, like playing themselves basically in this show. But like James Gandolfini and Edie Falco just always knocked it out of the park, especially like on rewatch. It's just like, wow, they're really, really good. They're pretty good at this show. That was a national, you know, iconic show.
Yeah. The other thing I've been really watching is the Orange is the New Black.
How's that going in the new season?
It's so good.
How far in are you?
I am 3 or 4 episodes in.
And is this like a 10-episode run?
I think it's a 13-episode run.
Okay. So they do the respectable thing. Because is it an hour show?
Yes, it's an hour show.
That's pretty good. That's pretty good to be able to put out 13 for Netflix. Like, that's not an easy thing to do.
And that show has gotten so good. And it's really interesting to watch because there's a lot of formulaic stuff that I feel like they've cribbed from Oz, where if they introduce a new character,
somebody's dying.
No, nobody really dies.
Transferring.
If there's people that transfer into like the maximum heavy security facility, there's big like arcing stuff that goes behind that. But they'll have each episode is kind of a character study on a character in the show. They'll have like I think there's only been 2 or 3 people that have actually died on the show.
That's not bad. One a season.
Yeah. And I mean, it's like end of season finale sort of deaths.
Mm-hmm. Like, they're done for dramatic weight.
Yeah.
They don't just happen L.A. Law style where somebody steps in an elevator shaft.
But what they'll do is they'll introduce somebody and have them kind of interact with a lot of the other characters that are on there. And then actually give, like, some lengthy backstory of how they've arrived at where they are today. And some of it just, like, hits you right in the feels. I mean, they had this one that the butchiest lesbian ever they actually had a back season where she's going to town with another lipstick lesbian, I would say.
Okay.
And involving a strap-on hardware.
Okay. You could have just said strap-on. I think that gets the point across, yeah. But I like the verbiage. Go ahead.
But they had an entire backstory with her, because she is like one of the hardest characters on this show, just despicable almost. But they had, an entire backstory. Hers, so far I've seen in the third season, hers was the most interesting and really well-developed character. I was really surprised how they had this transformation. And it was really interesting, like, just watching this, because Netflix does their entire 13-episode drop. They don't arc it out. But we've been watching one or two episodes a week. And this one, coming out with the SCOTUS.
Yeah. That was great, by the way. I was so happy to see it.
It was such an interesting timing with that episode. So,
you know, the really interesting thing to me about that, too, is when I'm sitting there and looking at Facebook and I'm seeing so many posts, it occurred to me that, like, I can't say that the country is really moving on, because I just don't know, because I know it's my own little fishbowl that I'm in when I'm in Facebook. But I have not, like, and I know people have seen it. I heard Matt talking about it, you know, and We Had a Good Life, which just came up as we're recording, like, a few hours earlier. But I have not run into one person on Facebook or in life who's just, like, talking that down. Like, it seems like everybody's, like, happy and, like, it's about time, which is genuinely surprising to me. It seemed like for so long it was just, you would just run into so many people who are just, like, so negative about it. And it seems like those people are slowly fading into the woodwork. Now, I know it's still around, but it's nice to know that we've progressed farther than I thought we progressed. You know, yeah, I also don't read the comments at the bottom of articles either talking about it, because I just know no matter what the article is, there's going to be hateful shit at the bottom.
Thanks, Obama.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, and it's really been kind of interesting because I went to work on Friday and I worked like 2 hours because I had worked a bunch of overtime already this week. And so I was done about 10 o'clock in the morning, which was about 45 minutes after the verdict came out. And it was like a rainbow was coming out of my phone.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a really pleasant thing.
But it wasn't. It was interesting because usually when there has been controversial stuff that's come out, I have seen both sides come through.
Yeah, me
and
too.
I have not seen that with this.
Yeah, so maybe it's just like the people we've surrounded ourselves with. But I have a lot of people on Facebook that just like started listening to us. Or like friended me, because originally my name was Montucky Skies on Facebook, and then I eventually made an announcement I was becoming a real person. So if you want to see the posts that I used to do, you got to go to the Not Safer Network page, you know. And so there's a lot of people I just legitimately don't know through Facebook, but like I haven't seen anything negative. That's been really, really nice. Now, I'm sure some people are listening to it and maybe they've seen some stuff, but that's impressive to me. That's impressive to me, especially knowing a lot of these people are from Montana, which hasn't been the most progressive state a lot of the time, you know, and that just makes me happy. It warms my heart a little bit that, like, for the longest time, I always saw this as a civil rights issue, and so many people denied that it was civil rights. Like, that it was, it's a choice or whatever. Like, they just denied that it was civil rights. And, like, it seems like most people have gotten on that page. Like, it really shows me that, like, you know, attitudes change and people's attitudes towards things change, which is nice, you know? It's nice to know that we can evolve. I got nothing but kind things to say about this whole thing. I'm very happy.
What the funniest thing I saw come out of what I've seen so far is they had a, it was like an editorial cartoon. Somebody, they had this, what was it, 10 years ago, and you saw this old guy sitting in front of a TV, and he was talking about...
Will and Grace.
No, it was African Americans shouldn't be allowed to vote, and just these other two are like talking off in the distance, like, what a bigoted asshole. And you show like in the future, or 20 years in the future, you see like gay shouldn't get married guy like with a long beard watching TV, and it's, what a bigoted asshole.
yeah, it's, I had a friend who was black when I was in eighth grade. I used to play basketball all the time. When we started becoming friends, yeah. You know who I'm talking about. I don't want to drop his name right now, but I haven't talked to him since eighth grade, really. But I remember being really like not understanding how he could be kind of bigoted towards gay people when like he was facing racism all the time. Cause to me, it always seemed like the same thing, which was just, it's prejudice. Like when it's all prejudice. And I was just like, I don't understand. And then as I got older, I started to realize like that doesn't really matter. Not everybody sticks up for everybody. You know, and that was like the bitter pill I had to swallow for a long time. So it's nice to know that people are starting to see that bigger through line that this is prejudice. Yeah. So I guess like if you feel turned off at this point, go fuck yourself.
Hey, Supreme Court says you're wrong.
That's right. And I do. The one thing I said that was slightly negative, but it's true. I hope that we get some justices in there to replace so that when this gets challenged again, because a 5-4 ruling, as I'm sure you know,
it's really tenuous.
Yeah, it's tenuous, and it can go away at any time once one justice changes. I really hope that it starts to strengthen to where people see this, to where eventually it's like an 8-1 or 9-0 decision, because when that happens, it becomes precedent, and it's almost impossible to change. Like once you get that unanimous ruling, that's when it really becomes precedent, you know. Like Roe versus Wade still being fought.
Yeah.
Might be fought my entire lifetime because it was a 5-4 ruling, and it shit always falls along like 5-4 lines, it feels like, you know.
Yeah.
And it will be continue to be challenged until people decide one way or the other which way it needs to go. But on this issue, I feel like it's progressing a lot quicker suddenly, you know? Like, it seems like, remember when this was a wedge issue, like gay marriage? That was like, what, 11 years ago that Republicans just took so many seats in the Congress and all over because they made it a wedge issue and like put Democrats in a position they weren't comfortable defending and won a lot of elections based off of like homophobia. And now
and
it's
that
just
was
like
about
that,
the time they were really pushing the state by state bans on gay marriage.
And 11 years can seem like a long time, but in politics, it's not all that long, you know.
And that's so, 2 terms of a senator.
Yeah. Yeah, that's right. That's right. It's just slightly less than 2 terms. And to see it switching so quickly is really, really warms my heart, I guess.
The one surprise that I had come up with when I didn't know who voted which way, but the one that really kind of surprised me was
Scalia voted against it.
Scalia, yeah.
And
Clarence Thomas was the one that was kind of surprising to me.
That he voted against it?
Yeah.
Yeah, it wasn't to me. He's extremely conservative. Yeah, that's where we go back on the whole thing of, like, you know, not seeing prejudice as a whole.
Yeah.
Because, yeah.
And that, because I just saw a splash of, they had this picture of all the justices and then the ones that voted, the 5 that voted for it, or the 5 in favor, had rainbow gowns on, and then they had the four in black, which is the Raider.
Just in mourning. Oh, we can't take away people's rights anymore. I feel horrible.
And I was just, Clarence Thomas was one that was very surprising because he was put in by a Democrat president.
No.
He came in during Clinton.
No, he came in during Bush Sr. Yeah. Look it up. I swear, look it up.
I almost positive he came in.
I'm positive Clinton. He came in during Bush Sr. In fact, I would say if I'm wrong about Bush Sr., it's Reagan. But, like, I'm pretty sure he came in the late 80s when Bush Sr. was president. I'm positive. Or maybe the early 90s, but I'm sure.
Okay, you are right.
It was Bush Sr.? Yeah. Yeah, just, like, Clarence.
It was the last one Bush put in before, because it came, so he was in 1990.
Like 92? Oh, 90? Okay. Well, Bush came in 88.
Right.
And then lost the 92 election to Clinton. So.
Okay. So that actually makes more sense now. But
okay, yeah.
Because I had really thought he came in under Clinton. But
if you can remember the years of the Olympics, it's the years of the presidential elections, or the Summer Olympics anyways. It used to be the Olympics. Then they decided to stagger it every 2 years or whatever.
Yeah.
There was something else I was going to bring up, and now I cannot remember it. Oh, there's reviews of Ant-Man pouring out now. Almost universally good. Like 90% positive reviews.
That's good.
Yeah, I was too. I was talking with my wife about that, and I was like, you know, I was watching the trailer, and I wasn't quite sure. Like, I really liked the end of it where you see the battle, and then you see that toy train come up and just fall over, which is hilarious. That was like the one part I really liked in the trailer. The steal stuff line was kind of funny with Paul Rudd.
Yeah.
But, you know, I wasn't sure. I was starting to think this might be the failure, but reading the reviews, it made me think, like, this could be really good. Like, some people say it was better than both of the Avengers movies and Guardians of the Galaxy. Like, they said the fight scenes are really, really interesting. It's the most interesting fight scenes Marvel's done in their movies. So that makes me hopeful for whenever Ant-Man gets released. I'm not sure. I'm so behind on the curve with movies right now. It could be out right now. I don't know. I suspect it's out in Europe, but
it's doesn't come out. I know it doesn't come out in theaters here till July 17th.
Yeah, so it's probably getting a European release in a couple of days, and I bet, because they usually release it in Europe for 1 to 2 weeks before they release it in the States.
I think probably a lot of that's just screener reviews.
Oh no, they release it. They release it worldwide, like everywhere but the States, because it's a way to make it successful before it even hits American box office. Like I heard a breakdown of the strategy. The reason they originally did that was because there's so much emphasis on whether a movie's successful based off of the domestic box office that it'll be looked at as a failure if it makes tons of money worldwide but doesn't catch fire in the U.S. So they put it out in Europe first so that it makes all its money back and starts making bank before it ever sees a U.S. release. And it's part of a strategy for if they ever do fail in the domestic box office, they've kind of put their insurance out like, hey, it still did well. You know, so it's kind of a savvy move that Marvel made to do that. But we might be getting long on the tooth. Is there anything else you wanted to talk about? Or
doesn't sound like it.
All right, so take it easy. I will not respect the outro. Nothing different here. Not safe for network. So when you get the actual script in your hands, How is it that you memorize everything?
I mean, there's like, you write the first letter of each word.
That's what Robert Downey Jr. does.
Sure, yeah. And that's great for Robert Downey Jr., but
for Robert Downey Jr.
That just gets me so confused.
RDJ.
So we won't be seeing you in an Iron Man suit anytime soon.
Well, not on stage. In my off time, maybe. But I don't know what you're doing in my bedroom, so please leave.
That's debatable.
I think the way we argue matters. The more diverse populations we have to argue with, the better. The internet, it gives you a lot of zealotry, and a lot of that is saying, you know, 9/11 was an inside job, or the moon landing never happened, or whatever. But, you know, if we could look at the flip side of that too, you get a whole bunch of information that gets to fly around the world in a heartbeat, and all of a sudden everybody knows the same damn thing.
We had a good life.
Is talking about the Juggalo community on the podcast so publicly as we do, does that set us up as a target in the future, potentially?
It's as much of a threat as a dirty 400-pound topless woman like running at you from a couple hundred yards away can be. You know what I mean?
This is family over here.
It's family.
Box office battle.
If you were to take the male lead of your film and put him into a romantic comedy, would I root for him?
I have to say, we have seen this romantic comedy. Liv Tyler is his daughter, and he saves the human race in Armageddon.
Is that a romantic comedy, though?
You know, you had me until you said Armageddon.
Shooting the show.
My parents always stocked up on ramen. They didn't really know how much I ate. And I would actually scrounge up change and go to the store and buy more ramen so it didn't look like I ate as much.
Eric.
That's what alcoholics do. My mom should have never taught me how to make it.
Yeah, you had a problem.
The Alien Movie Project.
The aliens crash a kid's birthday party, basically.
Which, again, I think supports the frat aliens notion. Oh god, where am I? Oh guys, hey, is there anything to drink at this party? You guys.
You guys, I'm gonna have some of this cake.
Hey,
if I cut this cake?
Can I open this? Are you gonna wear that hat?
I'm just gonna take some of this cake.
Montauk Skies. By the way, his character trait is he constantly pulls out stomach acid pills. What do you call it? Like Pepto-Bismol or something? And he just constantly chews the pills every time something comes wrong. He's like, just chewing the pain.
Can I just say,
washes them down with a cup of coffee.
I appreciate the subtlety used by saying his character trait, because we know this is the type of movie where each character gets one trait.
Find all our podcasts on iTunes. Not safe for network.